The Shir tonight is on Parsha Shmos, which is this week's Parsha, and the title of the Shir tonight is Moshe's Marriage to Tzipora. So tonight we're going to look at the Psukim that discuss the marriage of Moshe to Tzipora, as the title expresses. But we're going to also look at different parts of the Psukim and try to gain some insight into what the Psukim are trying to teach us. So if you look in source number one, it's Shmos Perek Beis, and it starts with Pasuk Tezvav. It says, Vayishma Paro es hadavar hazeh, vayivakesh la rogas Moshe, vayivrach Moshe b'pnei Paro, vayeshev be'eretz Midyan, vayeshev al ha-be'er. So Paro heard that Moshe had killed the Mitzri in the famous story, and he wanted to kill Moshe for doing this. Moshe ran away, and he went to Midyan, and he went by this well, the Be'er. V'luchoein Midyan sheva banos, v'atavona, v'atidlena, v'atimalena es hara'atim, l'hashkos tzon avihen. So the Kohen, the priest of Midian, had seven girls, and they went to this well in order to draw out water and give water to the cattle. So all the other shepherds came, and they kicked these women out. But Moshe stood up, and he saved them, and he also gave water to their cattle. Vatavona el ruel avihen vayomer madua miarten bohayom. So the girls went home. They went to Reuel, and he said, "Why are you so quick? Usually it takes you longer." Vatomarna ish mitzri hitzilana miyad haroim vegam dalo dalo lanu vayashkes atzon. So they explained what Moshe had done. They said an Egyptian man had saved us from the shepherds, and he even gave our cattle water. Vayomer el benosa v'ayo lamaze azav tenes aish kiren lo v'yochalochem. So Reuel says back, you know, where is this guy? Why did you leave him? Call him in so that we can have a meal together. So Moshe stayed, and he consented to stay with Yisro, and he gave him Tzipora as a wife. It seems pretty easy there. And then ultimately they have a child, and the child's named Gershom after the fact that Moshe feels like he's a stranger in this land. So the Torah teaches us that it doesn't really mention much about Tzipora's personality or anything like that, but it does discuss, as opposed to the other imahos, where we know about their personality traits, but Tzipora, it's just kind of like she's given to Moshe. So what exactly is the idea of the marriage? Can we explain, you know, how the marriage took place? And what the concept is based on the Torah? What's the Torah trying to teach us about the nature of this union between Moshe and Tzipora? So before we get into the marriage, there's a couple other points in the Psukim that I want to take up. So one point is that in source number one, Pasuk Tezvav, it says that Moshe goes to the well. So the question is, why did he go to the well? You know, why is the well just a hangout? Why is Moshe going there? So if you look in source number two, Rashi explains, Vayishma Paro. So Paro heard, Haim Hilshinu Alav. So who was the one who told Paro? It was Dasan and Aviram, the ones who Moshe had saved from the Mitzri. They are the ones who told on him, which is pretty terrible. In fact, if we go back to the Psukim, Moshe says, Achei Noda Davar, after that happens. And Rashi explains that this is the reason why the Jews were enslaved. They were telling on their fellow Jews. Vayivakesh la'arog es Moshe. So it says that Paro, he tried to kill Moshe, and there's a medrash there that we're going to take up. It says, Masru lekostinar lahargo. So Paro gave Moshe to the executioner to kill him. Velo shalta bo acherev. But the sword did not have any power over Moshe. Husha amar Moshe vayatzileni mecherev Paro. It says later on that Moshe was saved from the sword of Paro, and we'll see where that's mentioned. So the first point that Rashi makes is that we're going to analyze is this concept, this famous medrash, that what does it mean that Moshe escaped? So what it means is that Moshe was actually about to get executed, but his neck turned really hard, and the cherev, the sword, wasn't able to pierce his neck, and he was able to get away. And then it says, Vayeshev be'eretz Midyan nis'akev sham. He stayed there in Midyan. Once he left, Vayeshev al be'er, lashon yeshiva. So he sat there, lama miyakov, shenizdabeg lo zivugo al be'er. So the reason why he went to the be'er, the well, is because he learned from Yaakov Avinu that you find your mate at the be'er, at the well. So it sounds like the well is like a club or a bar or something like that. But what's the idea of going to a well to find your mates? Why is that the makom, the place to find your mate? So before we answer that, like I said, the first part we're going to explain is that this medrash, this famous medrash by Moshe, that it, when it says that he escaped, it doesn't mean that he just ran away, but there's a nace that occurred, and the nace was that he was given over to the executioner, and instead of his neck turned hard, and the sword was incapable of piercing his neck. So the Torah Tmima, in source number 3, he explains this a little bit, and what the meaning of the medrash is. He says, V'chi efshar levaser v'dam levroch min amalchus. Can a human being really escape a powerful king, a king like that? Hello, Bishasha Tafas Paro es Moshe, Chaivo Lahatis es Rosho. So when Paro had seized Moshe, so the commandment was to cut off his head. The Kea Hacherev Me'al Tzavaro Shel Moshe, but the Cherev, the sword, it became weak on the neck of Moshe. Hadahu dechsev, and that's what it means in Shir Hashirim, Tzavarech ki migdal Hashem. Your neck is like a tower of ivory. It's a reference to the hardness of Moshe's neck. Zet Tzavaro Shel Moshe. This is the neck of Moshe. So he gives us a little more detail, but the Torah Tmima says that why do we make reference to this nace? Because it's very difficult, almost impossible, for a person at that time period to escape. If Paro wanted to catch you, it would be nearly impossible to escape. So it must be that something miraculous happened, and the miracle is hinted to in the Psukim. But the question is, what's the significance of this miracle? Can we gain any insight that this miracle was used in this situation? So that's the question. So if you look in Shemos, in source number 5, one other point that I mentioned, and Rashi mentioned, because we're going to go straight from Rashi. Oh, sorry, I skipped number 4. So number 4 is the Torah Tmima again. So he says, Yitachin, he explains, Yitachin, demedayik ze gam mehaloshon vayivakesh parog laharog es Moshe, veloksi vayivakesh es Moshe laharga. The reason why they learn out this medrash is because the pasuk says that Paro requested to kill Moshe. It doesn't say that he looked for Moshe to kill him, but he requested to kill Moshe, implying that he actually seized him already, he caught him. Mashma dehamavukash vayishtadlus haisa lola matzo kiim lahargo. It wasn't hard to find him, it was hard to kill him. Klomar eich lahargo, how to kill him. Delo haya yachol is that, he couldn't do it. And mefarish sibas adavar shelo yihaya yachol lahargo mishim shekeh acher me'al tzavara v'nishvar. The sword broke on his neck. V'ayin le'el l'kaman reish parak yisro. Reish parashas yisro v'parak v'yatzlinu v'pasuk v'yatzlinu mecher v'para. So he just is telling you the source for this nace. But again, it's the same question. What's the purpose of this miracle? Was it simply out of necessity that Moshe needed this miracle to get out of Mitzrayim? Or was there some type of depth to the reason why this miracle was chosen, where Moshe's neck turns hard like stone? So that's the question. So one other point in Rashi, if you go back to Rashi in source number 2, if anybody has questions, just stop me, or they don't understand, I'll just repeat myself. But if you look in source number 2, he quotes the pasuk Vayatzilina Mecher of Paro, that I was saved from the sword of Paro, and that's a proof for this miracle. So where did he say this? Where did Moshe say, I was saved from the sword of Paro? So if we look in source number 5, it says, Vishem in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Dalet, it says, Vishem Ha'echad Eliezer, Ki Elokei Avi Be'ezri Vayatzilini Mecher of Paro. So Moshe's second son was named Eliezer. And why was he named Eliezer? In a reference to this miracle, that Hashem had helped him by saving him from the sword of Paro. So this is the reference. So one question that's raised, and it'll all hopefully come together, but one question that's raised by Rav Chaim Paltiel in source number 6 is a great question. Look at Vishem Ha'echad Eliezer. Tema, Lama Lo Kara Harishon Eliezer. Why did Moshe call his first son Gershom for Ger Hayisi Beret Nachria? Why didn't he call the first son Eliezer? Because Eliezer is a reference to the idea that he was saved from the sword of Paro, and he had just escaped Mitzrayim, saved by the sword of Paro, and his first child should have been named Eliezer, because that event occurred right before he had his first child. So why did he wait till Eliezer to reference this nace? So it says, So Ayin Sham HaNes Vayatzilina Mecher Paro, Sharei Achar Shehitzil Oso Mecher Paro Uvarach Mitzrayim Uval LeMidyan VeOsa Shah Nolad Gershon So that's part of the question. So Gershon was born right after he came out of Mitzrayim to Midian. The Lama Himtin Achinolat Hasheni. So why did he wait till the second son? So V'yesh Lomar, so he gives an answer. We're going to give a different answer. He says, V'yesh Lomar Adayin Lo Nitzol Mikovachol Mecher Paro. He wasn't completely saved from the Chera, from the sword of Paro. Afa Pisha Nitzol Mimitzrayim. Even though he got out of Mitzrayim by Gershom, Kishabarach, when he escaped, Mikomakom, nevertheless, Lohaya Rishai Lachzor Sham. He couldn't go back to Mitzrayim. Adayin Mipnei Paro, because of Paro. Ukshinolad Bino Asheni, when he had Eliezer, Kfar Ne'amar V'yamas Melech Mitzrayim. The first Melech had died, Venitzal Mikovachol, and he was saved now from everything. The Hachikamar Amarlo of Hakadosh Baruch Hu Amarlo Lech Shuv Mitzrayim. And Hashem said, "Go back to Mitzrayim." The Oz Vaday Roy Likroso Eliezer. So that's why he named him Eliezer. So his answer is that really, until Paro had died, Moshe was still under the sway of Paro, and once Paro died, then he was capable of feeling like he was really saved from Paro, and that's why his second son was named Eliezer. The first son was Gershom, because he was still in a state where he was fearful of Paro, but only after Paro died did he really reflect on the nes and name his second son Eliezer. But the question is, what's the idea of the nes? Like, what's the concept here of the nes, and can we explain this idea of naming Eliezer after the nes? Is there something else that we can give for this idea of Eliezer being named after the nes? So that's the question. So what's the answer here? What's an idea? So I was thinking about this, and it reminded me of a famous medrash by Yaakov. So it says that when Yaakov went to visit, not to visit, but when he encountered Esav, it says that Esav kissed him, Vayishakehu. It's a famous Vayishakehu in the Torah because there are all these dots on top of it. I think I gave share on this in the past. So the question is, why are there all these dots? So there's different Mefarshim. Some say that he was genuine when he kissed Yaakov. Some say that, you know, he was conflicted. And some say that he was trying to bite Yaakov. He wasn't really trying to kiss him. And the Medrash says that Yaakov's neck turned to stone, and Esav was unable to bite Yaakov's neck to try to kill him. So it reminded me of this Medrash, a very similar Medrash by Moshe, that when Moshe was trying to be killed, they attempted to kill him, his neck turned hard, like the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that his neck turned into ivory. So it reminded me of the same type of nes. So once I put the two together, it seems to me like there's a commonality in both situations. So both situations are situations where Yaakov and Moshe were both completely intimidated and afraid of their superiors. So Yaakov, of course, the story of the Esav's angel and the whole fight with the angel was to prepare him to encounter Esav, to have the confidence to encounter Esav. That was part of the idea of that situation of the Malach. And then when he encounters Esav, he's still afraid because he's davening to Hashem and he splits up his camp and it seems like he's very afraid of Esav. And same thing with Moshe. Like the Torah Tmimah says, Moshe was very afraid of Paro. It's very difficult for anybody to escape from Paro. And the Medrash says, according to Rav Chaim Paltiel, he only felt secure, you know, once Paro had died. So it seems like they were both in a situation where they had tremendous fear, intimidation by these superiors, either Esav or Paro. So I believe the nes was in order to address that emotion that they were both feeling, that fear that they were both feeling. So in both situations, they were both feeling a sense of fear, intimidation. And in both situations, the nes of their neck being hardened was an idea of teaching them that they shouldn't be fearful, that really that there is this hashgacha to them, that they're not going to succumb to these individuals. And it was a means of Hashem giving this lesson to these tzaddikim, that in these situations, it's inappropriate for them to be fearful. And in fact, it would help them, it would assist them in the future if they were able to overcome this. Of course, with Moshe, he had to approach Paro, a different Paro, and he needed to overcome this fear, this intimidation, inferiority towards Paro. So this was means or part of accomplishing that. And also Yaakov as well. When Yaakov moved on, you know, there was always the chance that Esav would catch up with him, but he had to overcome that fear. So the idea, I believe, of Moshe and Yaakov's neck being hardened was an idea of teaching them that this inferiority that they feel, this intimidation is unwarranted. That really they have to, of course, there's a certain amount of rational fear, I would say, reasonable fear, where a person is supposed to prepare. But there's also an irrational fear, where a person feels like they're just left to be killed, to be destroyed. So the Medrash is teaching us in both situations that when these individuals were in these situations, they needed a nace to occur in order to give them, not only for practical reasons, but also to give them a certain sense of calm in the face of these individuals, to be able to deal with this feeling or this fear and this intimidation. And once they were able to escape these situations, these dangerous situations, it would give them some sense of superiority, or at least it would break down that fear, that intimidation factor. So I think that's the idea of the nace, and I think the reason why it's expressed in both places is to teach you the commonality that both were facing the intimidation of what they perceived as their superior, Esav or Paro. So I think that's the idea. Okay, so again, so another question that we asked, now we'll get to the actual marriage itself. So the question we had was, what's the deal with the Be'er? So what's the deal with it? Why do all these tzaddikim go to a Be'er, to a well, in order to get married? It just, you know, doesn't seem why is that the situation? Why is that the area where everybody congregates to get married? It seems like an odd situation. So if you go back to Rashi, look in source number 2, it says at the very end, Vayeshev Be'eretz Midyan, no, sorry, the last one, Vayeshev al Be'er, Lashon Yeshiva, Lamad Miyakov, Shnizdaveg lo Zivugo al Be'er. So Moshe, he was just copying his forefather, Yaakov, and there seemed to be like this tradition that Jewish men go to Be'ers, go to wells, in order to find their mates. So he was just following the tradition of his fathers. And where do we see by Yaakov that he went to the well? Look in source number 7. It says, Vayisa Yaakov Ragla Vayelach Artza B'nei Kedem. Yaakov got up and he went to the eastern land. Vayar V'nei Be'er Basadeh V'hinei Sham Shlosha Ed Reitzon Rovitzim Aleha Kimina Be'er Ahi Yashko Adarim V'Evan Gidula Piel Be'er. So Moshe goes to this Be'er, and there are these flocks of sheep there, and there's this huge stone on top of the well. So they needed multiple people to remove this stone, and then they would return the stone. And the story over there is that Yaakov, he was able to remove the stone himself to help out Rachel. So what is what's going on over there? We see by the Be'er. So look in source number 8. The Baal Turim says, Vayar v'nei Be'er basadeh. Amr lo imo, so his mother said, Kimosh anochi yifas toar, v'nizdamanti al be'er, just like I'm beautiful, Rivka was saying to Yaakov, I'm beautiful, and that's where I found, or I was able to get married, through the be'er. Kein yelecha simon mibenos achai, im tira shehi kitari hi bas mazlach. So this is also a sign for you that if you see a woman that's from my family, and that is similar to me, so that's your mazel, that's good luck for you. So go to the Be'er, that's a good place to find women, to pick up women. And if you find somebody similar to me, because that's where I found, you know, Eliezer, so then great, you know, you'll be well off. So the idea of the Be'er was from Yaakov, and Yaakov got the idea of the Be'er from Rivka. And of course, where did that come from? So we go back in time again, and we go to the Bereishis Perek Chav Dalet. Ultimately, it went back to Avraham sending Eliezer. So if you look in source number, sorry, there was no source, so it was a mistake there. But Bereishis Perek Chav Dalet, right after source 8, it says, Vayikach Eved Asara Gemalim Igmalei Adonav Vayelech V'chol Tuv Adonav Yado Vayokom Vayelech El Aram Narayim El Ir Nachor. So Eliezer went with the camels of Avraham, and he went to Aram Narayim, the place where Nachor lived, Vayavrecha Gemalim Michutz La'ir El Be'er Hamayim Leis Erev Leis Tzeis HaShavos. So he kneeled the camels down outside the city, and he went to this well when the women would come out to draw water. Vayomar Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham Akreinah Lefanai Hayom Ba'asei Chesed Im Adoni Avraham. So Eliezer, if we all remember, asks for this sign, this kindness from Hashem. So all the girls are going to come out to draw water. Vayana ra asher omar eleh hatinacha deich ve'eshev amrosh esev v'gam gmalecha ashkia usahu chafta lav dechol yitzchak uva idok yasisa chesedim adoni. And Eliezer sets up this type of test that if any of the women offer to give him and his camels water, that's the one for Yitzchak. So if, again, we go all the way back to Avraham. So there's a mesorah, there's a tradition that if you want to find a mate, you go to a well. Avraham sent Eliezer. Eliezer went to the well. Then Rivka tells Yaakov, go to a well. And then Moshe learns from Yaakov that the place to find your mate is from a well. So what is this? What is this idea? Why is the well this pickup place for women and this get-together for women and men? So what exactly is going on here? So if you look in Rashi, source number 9, just one other point, and then we'll answer that question. So if you look in source number 9, it says, Migmalei Adonav, Nachrin Hayu Mishar Gemalim. So Avraham's camels were different than all other camels. Shehein Yotzen Zimumim, Bepnei Gezel, Shelo Yiru Besada Sacherim. They had these muzzles so that they wouldn't eat and steal from other people's land. V'chol Tuv Adonav Yado, Shtar Matanak Sav Liyitzchak Akol Asher Lo, Kedei Sheikzu L'shloach Lo Bitom. And he also had a shtar, he had a contract that said that Yitzchak was entitled to all of Avraham's belongings in order to convince the girl to go along with him, to go back. So that's what Rashi teaches us. So what exactly is the idea of the well? And why did I bring in this last Rashi? What does that have to do with anything? So once, a long time ago, I remember giving like a Dvar Torah on the idea of Rivka. And one of the ideas of Rivka was that she showed, what's the nature of the sign? It wasn't just Hashgacha, that this woman would come out and be the right one for Yitzchak, but the sign was based on a certain personality trait that that Eliezer was looking for Yitzchak. What is that personality trait? So it's not just Chesed, but it's Chesed despite the fact that Eliezer had all this stuff with him. He had Gemalim, and he had a shtar with him. So usually a person does chesed when they feel sorry for somebody else, they feel pity. It's very rare to see somebody who's very wealthy, you know, sitting on the side and just offering to help them and offering this chesed. Usually you think wealthy people can take care of it. It seems like Eliezer had a lot of stuff. He wouldn't need help, but she was able to show kindness, chesed, without this identification, this necessary identification and the feeling of mercy and pity. She just gave or showed kindness for the sake of kindness. And that's the perfection, the greatness of Rivka. And that's why she was chosen for Yitzchak. So what do we see about the well situation? It seems like what we see in the well situation is that it's a place in order to see, you know, how a woman will react and how a woman will treat others and how a woman will work in that situation. So it seems like the Mesorah was for Moshe and Yaakov, it was to go to the well. Why? Because a well is an opportunity to see the characteristics of the woman, not just see the woman physically and not see the woman, let's say, you know, I'm just giving an example, but when you go out on a first date, for example, so everybody's not themselves. People, you know, women, they dress up fancy and they put on a lot of makeup and everybody's, and men also, and everybody's, you know, awkward towards each other. And it's a very contrived situation. But the idea of a well is the opposite. It's a situation where you can observe somebody else in a natural state where you can see how they interact with others. And by doing that, you can get a sense of the characteristics of the woman that you're looking for. So I think that was the lesson that Rivka was telling Yaakov. And that's what Moshe learned from Yaakov. That why go to a well to find a woman? Because a well is that situation, that opportunity to view a woman in a natural setting, in a natural state, and to see how this woman reacts or interacts with others. And you can get a sense based on how they interact, whether they're chesed, whether they're kind to each other, kind to others. So you can get a sense of what their midos are, what their characteristics are. And that's really the most essential aspect of what a Jewish man is supposed to be looking for. Especially Moshe, he was looking for somebody who would join him in the leadership ranks, so too by Yaakov. So I think that's the idea of a well. A well is an opportunity to view those characteristics, those midos of the woman that you're seeking. But by Tzipora, it doesn't really teach us about her midos that much. It doesn't say, really, she was just one of seven. So we have to keep going and try to understand, again, how Moshe, or why Moshe chose Tzipora or wanted Tzipora, Yisrael gave Tzipora to him. So what's the backdrop of this? So if we go on, Rashi's going to give us some insight into the backdrop, and then we can get even more more into why Moshe was married Tzipora and what the nature of the marriage was. So if we go to source number 10, Rashi says over there, Ulchohein Midyan, it's on Pasuk Tes Zayin, which we already read in source number 1. It says that the Kohen Midyan had 7 daughters. So who was the Kohen Midyan? Rav Shebehen, Upir Shlom Avodazara, Veniduhu Me'etzlam. So the case was that the Kohen Midyan, who was Yisrael, he was very important amongst the people, but he had left Avodazara. The Medrash says that he tried all the Avodazaras in the world, and he was not satisfied, and he left Avodazara, and all the people put him in Nidoy. They excommunicated him. So at that time, Yisro was really excommunicated, so he couldn't really go outside his house to do anything. He sent his daughters out. So if you look in the Ramban over there, in source number 11, it says, Vatavona vatidlena, ki hayu haroim b'chol ayomim ba'im umemalim harehatim umashkim tzona batchila. So the story was, the schedule was, that the shepherds, the male shepherds, would go first, and they would take care of their cattle. V'achareichen hayu anoshim ha'ele mashko shelahen. Then the women would bring their cattle and give them water. V'ira ki ayom hazeh kidmu hanashim v'atavona v'tedlena. So on the particular day that Moshe was there, the women came first. Ki ayu choshvos l'hashko sona b'tchila terem b'haroim. They were trying to pull a fast one, and they were trying to give their flock water before the shepherds came. So they were trying to get in early birds. V'inei bo haroim v'yigarshim min harahatim l'hashkos heim tchila kemin hagam b'chol yomim. But the shepherds, they kicked them out of there, and they said, it's our turn. We go first. U'moshe charalo ala chamas. Moshe was very angry at the way that they treated these women, these 7 daughters of Yisro, v'yitzilon, and he saved them. Ki kevan shehein malu harahatim harei hamayim shel hen. Once they filled up the troughs, it was their water. So how dare the shepherds come and try to kick them out and take their water? The gam dalolahem, ki lo ispiku aratim l'chol tzonon. And not only did Moshe save them, but he also gave water to their cattle. The zetam madua mihartin bo'ayom. That's why Yisro says to his daughters, why are you so quick? The amru ish mitzri tzilan mi'ataroim shemigarshim osana b'chol yom tamen b'vo'enu l'rahatim t'chila. Because they were used to having to wait or being kicked out. But on this day, Moshe saved them. So this Kohen Midyan, Yisro, or Reuel, it's machlokes on who Reuel was, who was Yisro, but we'll call him Yisro. So Yisro is the Kohen Midyan, and he was excommunicated because he left Avodah Zarah. So he sends his daughters to feed his cattle and to give them water. And usually the men go first and the women go second. So now his daughters came in early, and the men try to kick him out, and Moshe saved the day. But there's also, let's look at the Das Lakanim in source number 12. There's also another aspect of the Avodah Zarah idea. So if you look in Vayakom Moshe Vayoshiyan in source number 12, the Das Lakanim says, Melamid Sharoim Nutlum Vishafchum Lamayim. So they took them and they spilled all their water, Mipnei Anidoi Shel Yisro, because of Yisro's excommunication, Shniduhu Mipnei Shekafar B'Avodah Zarah. The reason is because Yisro left Avodah Zarah, and now this was being taken out on their daughters. V'lashon v'yoshian mashmakin, and that's what he saved them. Sounds like k'damar hoshieni elokim ki bo ma'ima nefesh v'hu adin v'gam dalo dalon lanu v'achas latzon. So the Das Lakanim explains that not only were the women kicked out, the daughters of Yisro kicked out because they came early, but also it had to do with Yisro's leaving of Avodah Zarah and his nido, his excommunication. So now these shepherds were taking out their anger at Yisro for leaving Avodah Zarah and being excommunicated on his daughters. So Moshe wasn't just saving these women from being persecuted for being first, but he was saving these women for being persecuted because their father had left Avodah Zarah. So the backdrop of Moshe meeting Tzipora and her sisters is that this situation was that Yisro had left Avodah Zarah, and now his daughters are being picked on because their father left Avodah Zarah, and Moshe has to save them. So he's basically saving these girls from, or these women, from individuals who are persecuting them and harassing them because their father left Avodah Zarah. So the backdrop is somewhat philosophical. It's not just personal between Moshe and these women, but it's also philosophical in the sense that Moshe identified these women as being the daughter of Yisro, and these women were being harassed because their father was a Nidoy. Presumably, Moshe understood this. The question is, how would he understand it? Presumably, he could read the situation and he understood what was going on. But let's keep going a little bit. So what happens after that? So Yisro invites Moshe back, and in source number 13, it says, Lama ze azavten, hikir bo shehu mizaro shel Yaakov, shamayim olam lekroso. So Yisro recognized that Yaakov, that he was from the Zer Yaakov, because the water would come up to Moshe's face. Vayochal lochem, shema yisa achas michem. He wanted Moshe to marry one of his daughters. Kima da'at amres, kima lechem asher ochel. Lechem hu ochel is a euphemism that he wanted Moshe to marry one of his daughters. And then in 14 it says, Vayol Moshe, lashon shvua shenishpa lo sheyidor imo. He agreed to live with him. And it says, the Hadar Zakenim says, Vayitain es tzipora bitol Moshe, shetahara beis aviha ketaharas kohen bedam tzipor. The purity of her father's house was like the purification of a kohen with the dam tzipor by mitzora. Shavodazara shenimshala nimshala mitzora shemeshula chutz legimel machanos. Because a vodazara is like a mitzora who sent out from the three machanos, and it was as if she was purified from this situation, and that's why she was given to Moshe, and Moshe married her. So what do we see about this? That was brought down, by the way, by the Das Hakanim. You got to give credit to the Das Hakanim. It gives a lot of insight into this situation. So what is the idea here? So it seems like this last point is that really Moshe, he fell in love with Tzipora, or he married Tzipora because he sensed, or he had this disdain for Avodah Zarah. Moshe's, the whole idea of Moshe is that he had communicated with Hashem. He was, into the idea of monotheism. That was his main idea that Moshe stood by. The Shem Hashem, he learned about all the ideas about Hashem. And now these women are being persecuted for doing Avodah Zarah. His father-in-law is someone who has disdain for Avodah Zarah, and his daughters were raised in a society where Avodah Zarah was rejected. So Moshe was not just attracted to Tzipora on a personal level, but he was also attracted to Tzipora because of the idea that she was embodied the rejection of Avodah Zarah, and she had the characteristics, she had the traits that were resulted from her being in a situation in a household which rejected Avodah Zarah. And that was important for Moshe in order to lead the nation. He needed a wife that was completely apart from the idea of Avodah Zarah. And because she was raised in this society, this environment, she was appropriate for Moshe. She was the one that Moshe fell in love with, and she was the one that Moshe had married. She was perfect to be the leader of, or one, the female leader of Klal Yisrael. So that's what Moshe saw in Tzipora. So you see that the Torah doesn't really mention much about this stuff. It just mentions that, you know, he sat with Yisro, he decided to live there, and then he married Tzipora. But the Midrashim and the Mefarshim, they give us all this great insight into what was going on. What was going on was that Moshe had this disdain for Avodah Zarah, and he really recognized that these girls, and specifically Tzipora, had the personality to reject Avodah Zarah outright because she had been raised by her father and in this household, a household that had this disgust for Avodah Zarah. So therefore, she was appropriate philosophically. Moshe saw her as an appropriate mate philosophically. So the last idea is the idea of the Ksava Kabbalah on Gershom. So we saw before that Moshe really left and he named his first son Gershom. So why does he name his first son Gershom? It doesn't sound like a very positive idea. Ki ger hayisi be'eretz nachriya. It sounds like a very sad idea. So why is he naming his first child after the fact that he is a ger, that he is a stranger in this land, in Midian? So the Ksava Kabbalah says, Vayikra Gershom, Lefisha yaboreach machmas melech paro shebikesh lahargo, because Moshe had escaped, v'huskak lesalech migoy algoy, he had to go from nation to nation, v'gam sham lohaya batach, he wasn't secure in these areas because he was always worried that he was being chased, l'chach kara oso Gershom, lomar shu megurash me'arto o me'ama, to show that he was kicked out and from his land and from his nation. Vizeshikas of Ger Isi Berth Nachriya, Kimisha Dar Chutz Me'eretz Molato, a person who lives outside of the place of his birth, Beratzo Nafsho, if it's by will, Nikro Ger Lo Megurash, you're called the ger, but you're not called Megurosh, kicked out. Aval Misha Garsham al Korchach, if they're forced to live there, Osha Lola Ratono, against their will, who Megurosh be'emes. That's the idea of being Megurosh, Gershom, Ger Haisi. They're really kicked out. V'lachein lo amar ger anochi, kera'i sheba oso azman hayadayin ger. He doesn't say ger, I'm a ger. He says Gershom, aval amar ha'isi, I was. Kemo v'ata isi lishnei machanos. Shenaseh ba korchach lios ger be'aretz nechriya. He was forced into this land of being a stranger. So, what the Ksava Kabbalah is saying, that Gershom is a reflection of how Moshe felt at that moment. He felt that he was forced out of Mitzrayim and away from his people. He says specifically, Me'artzo o Me'amo. So that's why he named his son Gershom. So what's the concept there? It's, like I said, it seems very depressing, very sad. So I think it's not very sad. I think the idea is to show you that even though Moshe was kicked out of Mitzrayim, he still had a need to go back. He still felt the need to connect with his people. He still felt connection to the Jewish people and to his land. And the idea is that even though Moshe was a ger, he felt like he was kicked out, it didn't destroy his desire to go back. It didn't destroy his desire to relate to and connect to his amo, his nation. So the Gershom, it's not really a sad thing. It's actually a reflection that Moshe, he wanted to go back. He wanted to be with his people. He wanted to go back and help save his people. And that's the idea of Gershom. It's not supposed to be sad. It's supposed to reflect Moshe's attitude and his connection to the people that were left in Mitzrayim that he had to leave and he had to escape from. So I think that's the idea. So let me just put it all together. It's really not so many points, but the shir is focused on a couple main points. The first idea was the concept of the nes that occurred to Moshe when he escaped. It says that his neck turned hard. And the question we had was, what's the significance of this nes? And he names Eliezer after his nes. So he waited till his second child to name him. So we see from there, the fact that he waited for a second child, it shows you that he was still afraid of Paro. He had this intimidation factor by Paro. And we also see the similar type of nes by Yaakov, that Yaakov, when he met up with Esav, one of the Midrashim say that Esav tried to bite him and his neck turned hard. So in both situations, both individuals, tzaddikim, were really afraid, terrified of these individuals, and they had to endure this close-up situation where they were saved. So part of the idea of the nes, I believe, is in order to help them overcome this irrational fear that they had, in order to help them move on, because it was really a flaw to fear them that much. So in order to move on, they really had to have this nes occur. This nes would be an affirmation that they were safe and that they didn't really need to feel this way from a rational standpoint. The second idea is the Be'er. What's the deal with the Be'er? So we said that it's a mesora, it's a tradition that you find your mate at the Be'er. It goes all the way back to Avram. And the reason, I believe, is tied to the fact that you can observe a woman in her natural state there, and a man too, and you can see how she interacts with people, and you can see how she reacts. And these are all most important in finding a mate, for a man to find a woman, is to observe her characteristics and to love her for her characteristics. So you can really get, you know, a true sense of what she acts like and what she's like in this situation of Be'er. And that's what Rivka was expressing, that she was a Balas Chesed. So that's what you're looking for. And then finally, we said that what was the attraction of Moshe to Tzipora? It wasn't just personal. It wasn't love, merely love. But also it was the idea that she was connected to Yisro, and she had grown up in an environment that rejected Avodah Zarah. And to Moshe, that was paramount, that he marries somebody who really had a disgust, a disdain for Avodah Zarah, was really necessary in order to lead Klal Yisrael. Finally, is the Gershom idea. Gershom is not really sad. It's really a good idea. It's to teach us that Moshe, despite the fact that he had escaped under terrible circumstances, he still felt a relationship connected, and he couldn't just let go. It wasn't in his nature, and he wasn't capable of just letting go of the past, but he still felt connected. So that is the idea of Gershom. All right, so anybody have any questions for tonight's shiur or on tonight's, or want to add anything to the shiur tonight? Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Just a thought, you know, Moshe was also criticized for identifying too much from the, when he identified himself as an Egyptian man.
He identified himself. What do you mean? What was the case? What did you say?
Okay, so there is, I don't have to focus on me, but there's a commentary that, I guess when the daughter's identifying him to to their father, to Israel, they say it was an Egyptian man.
Oh, right.
And there's a commentary that he's characterized and it's named Yosef, and Yosef was, even when he was in the time, he was an English. It's interesting because he was also, on one hand, he was criticized.
I mean, who criticized them? Daughters or what was he? I saw the parish. I just don't remember what it said. What did it say again? It said that he was criticized for
the